Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff. Shout out to all the underdogs listening live on the radio station WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. Shout out to all the Harlemites, New Yorkers, and those listening around the world. As you know, we get into a lot of underdog stuff here every Sunday noon to 1 p.m. Grateful for you to go on the journey. This show oftentimes explores how underdogs get our swagger back in today's society and culture, and we do it from all the angles: the unavoidable, the underreported, the unbelievable, the unjust, the unsaid, the unconventional, and more underdog stuff. Topics inspired by current events, and man, there's always a lot of current events going on. Past events, turn around, some that worked and some that didn't, because there's always something to be learned in some of our failures. Also, topics inspired by our personal lives and a pinch of politics. And to take you on that journey every week, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith, certified coach, business consultant, content creator, and overall into exploring how underdogs get our swagger back and rediscover our special stuff in life and in business. And as you know, every show, we got a couple segments you get to look forward to: the unavoidable news, a quick peek at some of the swagger back commandments, the under the week, a quick peek at some of the swagger back commandments, the under the week, maybe even an unconventional idea too. And then we end every show with the underdog spotlight. With that, it's time for episode 85. Ooh, time's flying by. 85 episodes. And today, I think we're going to call this episode Shoot Your Shot. Shoot your shot. And that term today has a lot of different meanings. Shoot your shot can mean getting over some fears you might have and doing something for the first time. It can mean going in and asking your boss for a raise. It can mean launching your first ever podcast. It can mean, in a romantic sense, letting a person know that you have interest in them and you shoot your shot and see what happens. And then, of course, in sports, it's literally you hit the basketball and you shoot your shot. And, you know, as they say, you miss 100% of the shots you never take. So if you're never shooting your shot, you might never be able to take the chance to have something work out. And as we all explore how we get our swagger back, going out and playing and shooting our shot is definitely part of it. With that, today we're going to get into a couple things. The unavoidable news of the week will include this story.
Tony Rock.
Yeah, you know Tony Rock.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, so he just came out and says Omarosa's black card's been revoked.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
You agree?
I agree. Omarosa, I have no idea where she's, like, in that no man's land. She didn't let go of Trump, and black people don't want her. So
really?
Maybe she can go be first lady of her church since she sold her soul.
Oh my God. What do you think? Do you think she's out? Do you think this is just for, like, a book deal? I mean, there's some people saying that
she got with Trump because of money. She sold her soul, and now she's trying to sell him down the river. And, you know, she's trying to make money for a book. Everything's very calculated with Omarosa, but she could be the one thing that brings him down. So there you go.
You think so? And what do you, so where does she go now?
Black people still not going to take her back.
She's not part of the black community?
No, not at all.
Officially?
Not at all. Officially. So Omarosa's a goner.
Ooh, that was Sherry Shepherd, former co-host on The View, talking about Omarosa. I like to call Omarosa these days MC Omarosa, because she's out here dropping mixed tapes like she's just, you know, out here DJ Clue. New tape every day. But we'll talk about it as part of the unavoidable news. Love to get your thoughts. Should she keep shooting her shot? Are you ready for Omarosa just to go quietly into the sunset? We're going to go to the phone line, say your name and where you're calling from.
This is Deborah from Manhattan.
Deborah from Manhattan. Talk to me. How you doing?
How are you, Gregory?
Hey, I'm feeling much better now. I get to hear one of my favorite voices.
It's good to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. What's on your mind?
Well, look, first of all, I just want to start this off with, I don't know Omarosa, okay? I do know that when The Apprentice began, I really wasn't interested in watching it, and she was like a magnet. She really was. And they did not treat her very well on there, those white females. And they didn't call her the N-word, but they sure attempted to treat her like one. And she fought and she scratched and she clawed, just like a lot of these sisters out here on the street. You just don't see them on television, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But when people start talking about she's not qualified, that's the word that really gets to me. White and black females alike. Oh, she's not qualified. She's not qualified. Well, first of all, I think she's more qualified than a whole lot of them because she did at least work for another administration.
Yep. Yes, she did. People.
So, yeah, you know, and a lot of people, you know, they don't want to read and they don't want to pay attention. And all they know is what they see in terms of what television will allow them. Yeah, I know she said that everyone will have to get on their knees and bow down and blah, blah, blah. It's just really, I just really think that people need to, like, kind of, like, keep quiet and let the woman just write her book. And first of all, I just need to say this. When someone fires you, they don't take you to the situation room, okay? And they don't lock you out and tell you that she had no access to a lawyer. She wasn't able to see her husband. That's not something that you do. Now, if we had found her dead, then they could have written history the way they wanted to, the same way that somebody else could have written history if that blue dress didn't show up. And, you know, even after that was all said and done, black people were more than willing to forgive a certain president. So they need to kind of, like, keep quiet and just let the woman just do what she needs to do. Okay? Because I don't see anybody else, you know, doing that with their people. Well, I really don't. And I'm listening, and it just gets, to me, it's just the same thing over and over and over again. Now, I don't know if it's because of the fact that the media is saying, hey, some of the people that come on the show, I want to keep my little job, and so this is what I've been told to say. But I think that if you're going to continue to bash her, then you should stop bashing Trump.
Yeah.
Stop talking about what he's not doing for certain people in this country. I don't want to hear anything more. I'm not interested in the children missing. I'm not interested in any of that until you decide that you're going to be quote-unquote Christian and treat people here like you should treat them.
So it sounds like you want Omarosa to keep shooting her shot and not go away. And just let's see how it plays out.
No, why should she go away?
Oh,
go away where?
I agree with you. But, you know, there's a lot of folks who hold some of her past against her. Or they want to confuse the messenger with the message. I think she should be continued to let her do her thing. And to your point about things they say about her, sometimes using code words, you know, I lean towards wanting to hear more as opposed to wanting to hear less, because saying things like they were scared of her in the White House. Now, we know darn well we want to be scared of Omarosa, but you weren't scared of Steve Bannon. You weren't scared of some of these other folks. I just don't like it. And I don't like how people are attacking her. And I think some of it has to do with race. And obviously some of it has to do with gender. I want to hear her tell her story and let's see what happens. As always, Deborah, you know, I appreciate you and I miss you. I'm glad you're back and letting us know how you feel. Sounds like you want our mercy to keep going and let's sit back and see what happens. I'm with you on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now,
okay.
Talk to you. Appreciate
Bye.
You, Deborah. Bye now. And that was Deborah from Manhattan letting us know how she feels. So let's get into the unavoidable news story of the week. And I'm going to get there by first talking about my mom, and it'll all make sense in a second. My mom is in her 70s. She grew up in South Carolina during a time when she was younger, you know, kid years during segregation. I remember recently being home in South Carolina, visiting her and my dad, and her telling me a story about how when her and my grandmom would go out for the day and let's say drive down towards the beaches like Myrtle Beach, a place where certain parts of Myrtle Beach, they weren't even allowed to go. And she would tell me about how my grandmom, her mom would pack her lunch or pack their lunches and they would put them in the trunk. And when it'd be time to take some break from shopping, they'd sit in parking lots and have lunch because you weren't quite sure whether there would be places or establishments that would allow you to come in there and actually buy food and sit down and eat. And that's just one example of the many stories that my mom can tell about her black experience in America, and specifically in the South, and specifically in South Carolina. Fast forward to, I think I was around 10 years old, and I'm playing on the computer. And for those of you who are a little younger than me, today you can play video games on your phone. But back then, I was playing on like a big computer. The computer was the size of a TV. I don't know why they were so big back then, but they were. And I'm playing a little video game at night. And I see out of the corner of my eye, my mom is walking towards the computer. And she's like, son, I need to get on there. And part of me is like, damn, I'm enjoying playing this video game. It's like nighttime. Aren't you done working for the day? But she said, no, I still have some work to do. And I remember her telling me that she had to start documenting some stuff that was happening at work. She said, son, just because I'm a twofer, I still got to watch my back. And so now I'm totally confused, right? I just wanted to play some video games. Now she's throwing out words that I've never heard before. I'm like, what's a twofer? I didn't know what she was saying. She's like talking work slang to me. I'm like, I'm 10. What are you saying, mom? What's a twofer? So I asked her, what's a twofer? And she goes, a twofer is when you check two boxes at your company. And she said, I checked two boxes at my company. I'm a woman and I'm black. And she said, oftentimes when you're a twofer, and especially if you check the black box, that you can get a job, but oftentimes you might be the last hired and the first to be fired. And so she gets on the computer and she starts typing away. And I can kind of peek at some of the stuff she's doing, because she would type something, then print it. And the printer was right underneath the workstation where the computer was. And I would notice that there were these dates and then lots of writing and paragraphs. And she told me how she felt like she needed to document everything that was happening at work, because it seemed like some folks were out to get her. And she said, as hard as she works, sometimes it's not always noticed. And I said to him, like, mom, still, like, looks like you're writing a book over here. Why are you writing this book? I'm like, if something goes wrong at the job, can't you just tell them what happened? And she said, son, sometimes that's just not enough. If you get into a he said, she said, it helps, especially when you're a twofer, to have documentation and proof. And that reminded me of, fast forward to today, this idea of a lot of us work in places where, as researcher Amy Edmondson would put it, we work in places where there's not a lot of psychological safety. And that's just a fancy term for we work in environments where there's not a lot of trust, where people feel threatened, looking over their shoulder. A lot of us feel that way. I know you feel that way, too, at your job. Maybe not all the time, but sometimes. And then that brings us to MC Omarosa, who's been dropping mixtapes, seems like every day or two. And maybe that's because before December of 2017, when she got let go from her position in the White House, maybe she was feeling like a twofer and feeling like she needed to watch her back.
The former Trump aide dropping another audio tape this morning and made another round of television appearances related to her new book. There is no reason to believe she won't drop a new recording each day for some time to come. In fact, Annie Carney of Politico is reporting exactly that fear from the West Wing tonight. Quote, people are terrified, one former Trump aide said of the tapes. Absolutely terrified.
Yeah, they're terrified. Omarosa recently released some audio tapes talking about how she was let go at the White House. Then all of a sudden this week she dropped another tape about a conversation she had with Laura Trump. the daughter-in-law to Donald Trump. And on that tape, supposedly, Omarosa got offered a job post being let go of her other job. The job said that Omarosa could be part of Donald Trump's reelection campaign, and she could make $15,000 a month. Which, if you do the quick math, 15,000 times 12 months comes out to about $180,000, which happens to be the same salary she made before they let her go from the White House. Coincidence or not? But like most things, right? Stuff doesn't come for free. And Omarosa had said that the $180,000 seemed to come with also a non-disclosure agreement where she wouldn't be able to say anything. Well, I shouldn't say anything. She could say anything great about Donald Trump and all his people, but she wouldn't be allowed to say anything bad about Donald Trump and his people. And so Omarosa now is out here just, you know, telling folks this is what happened. This was her experience. And she has said that even if Donald Trump keeps coming after and says things about her like this.
As you no doubt have already heard and seen, the president responded to her latest revelations with this, and we quote, "When you give a crazed, crying lowlife a break and give her a job at the White House, I guess it just didn't work out. Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog."
Now, I've heard the clip before and I've read the tweet, and just even in this moment, it still stops me in my tracks that Donald Trump called this woman a dog. And I know what you're thinking. Potentially, you're like, well, Donald Trump talks trash about everybody. He's called men, women, kids, McCain. He's called people dogs before. Don't fall for it. There are things you say to certain people that you don't say to others. And calling her a dog is unacceptable and uncalled for. But the good news is, as Deborah said, she wants Omarosa to keep going and shooting her shot. And Omarosa said, I'm going to keep shooting my shot.
I saw this as an attempt to buy my silence, to censor me, and to pay me off $15,000 per month by the campaign.
You saw this as hush money?
Absolutely. He thought he could dismiss me. You know, he thought, you know, that I could be disposed of. But Donald Trump is wrong.
She's going to keep on coming. And then I ask you, underdogs, should Omarosa keep shooting her shot? Or have you heard enough from Omarosa? You just want her to go ride off into the sunset. Sherry Shepherd, former co-host of The View, thinks that Omarosa has lost her Trump card, her black card, all the cards, and should just be gone. But I get it. Omarosa, like a lot of things, especially in our workplaces, contradictions. She sided with Trump, but now you're like, but now she's going after Trump, and you kind of like that. And you're not sure if you can trust her, but she's got some tapes, and she's got some receipts. She's a walking contradiction. And as Huey Newton, because you know I like to go old school, new school, Huey Newton of the Black Panther Party, from an old, old clip, reminds us that life is full of contradictions.
I think that one of my principles is that contradiction is ruling principle of the universe, and everything in phenomena, whether it's the physical world or the biological world or the social world, has its internal contradiction that gives motion to things, that internal strain. And much of the time that we Homo sapiens don't realize that no matter what sort of conditions we establish, no matter what government we establish at this point, there also will be that internal contradiction that will have to be resolved, and resolved in a rational, just way. And of course, that leads us somewhat, it's very vague on how to deal with it. And many times we claim actions are revolutionary, but really they're not.
Life, politics, and maybe even Omarosa, a bunch of contradictions. But I'll tell you, my point of view, I gravitate towards the twofers, I gravitate towards MC dropping mixtapes, Omarosa. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not planning to invite her to the cookout anytime soon, but I definitely wanted to keep going, and I'm gonna send her a plate. And I will say, Underdogs, we're not all in high profile situations like Omarosa is, but we are in situations like Omarosa is. And so if you're in a place where there's not a lot of trust going on and you feel like you're looking over your back, document the stuff. Get some human resources to support you. Make some requests for things to be different. And at the same time, be planning your exit, because you get to be at a place where it's safe to go into work every day. Also this week, speaking of politics and shooting our shots in them politics and in our professions, Democrats seem to be shooting some diversity shots recently. And I'm digging it, but, you know, let me know, are you digging it? Because some people are like, shoot your diversity shot, or they're like, no, when it comes time to 2020 and we get back into these presidential elections and stuff like that, they're like, diversity's good and all, but, you know, just nominate Joe Biden and let's just call it a day. Play it safe. Tried the woman thing with Hillary, tried the black man thing with Obama. Like, no, just let's just shoot the safe shot. Don't shoot the diversity shot. Should the Dems keep doing that or not? I will say, I'm often reminded when it comes to humans and people and diversity, I'm left-handed, by the way. I think about 5 to 10% of the population is left-handed. And it always reminds me, the whole left-handed thing, about just how challenging diversity is. I think about to the old days, centuries ago, you hear stories about a child would be born. And if it would happen to pick up a pencil or something with its left hand, it would get beat. Beat them hand. Don't pick stuff up with your left hand. Are you possessed? You're different. We use our right hand around here. And imagine adults literally probably slapping a ruler to their baby's hand. The closest thing you can get to someone who's like you is the child you gave birth to. Closest thing you get to. And just a simple difference, a diverse way to use your hands, using your left one instead of your right one, and people freak out. So it's not a surprise to me whenever people freak out about people being a different religion, a different gender, a different race, from a different part of the country. I get it. I get it. Humans are terrible at times when it comes to diversity, but I know we can overcome it. Well, at least I hope so. But with that said, the recent elections this past week was a big night for Democratic diversity. This woman, Christine Hollequist, a former energy company executive, became the first openly transgender person to win a major party's nomination for governor. And people believe that she has a shot to unseat the Republican governor, Phil Scott. And we'll see what happens. Also, this past week, there was a woman and Ilhan Omar of Minnesota is positioned to become the first Somali American to head to Congress. She's a former refugee and made history in 2016 by becoming the first Somali American to win office in the U.S. Also in Connecticut, Johanna Hayes will likely become the first African-American woman that Connecticut will send to Washington. Also, Rashida Tlaib became the first Palestinian-American member in Congress. So a lot of stuff happened this past week, and it looks like, you know, Democrats are shooting their diversity shot. And someone noticed the other day that this year the Democrats have nominated candidates for governor that fill out the acronym LGBT. So someone who's been lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, showing that we've come a long way in embracing diversity, is that if someone is qualified, if someone wants to be in office, we're a government for the people and by the people, and that everybody gets to have their shot and shoot it. And then at the same time, I've been hearing some people say, that's cool and all, but we want to win. And when I say we, for those who might lean left, they go, diversity's cool. Moving to the left is cool. Socialism, democratic socialism, healthcare for all, that's cool and all, but let's just make sure we win. Can't we nominate Joe Biden in 2020? He get in there and then we like do all the stuff we want to do. What are your thoughts? Diversity is a big issue, not just in the political workspace, but also in our workplaces. Do you want the Democrats to keep shooting their diversity shots, especially when we get to 2020? Or you want them to play it safe? And maybe, you know, nominate someone who is representative of the electorate. 9 in 10 Republicans are white. 6 in 10 Democrats are white. The total electorate is 70% white. You want to be diverse or you want to win? What do you want? Let me know your thoughts. I'll let you know mine. Don't fall for the hype. I'm a believer that we nominate the best person for the job. And for those who might get a little nervous and you don't think America's ready for LGBT candidates or people of different nationalities, folks of different religions, folks who don't fit the traditional makeup of our politicians, especially of our presidents, I'm here to tell you, don't fall for the hype. I got proof that America is at least open to it. Let me remind you, 2008, Barack Obama had more votes than anybody else who was running for president. 2012, let me remind you, Barack Obama had more votes than any other person that was running for president. Oh, let me remind you, 2016, and this is where I think people forget, women got more votes in America than men. Jill Stein and Hillary Clinton had more Americans vote for them to be president of the United States than Gary Johnson and Donald Trump. Don't fall for the hype. Democrats, nominate the best candidate possible. If it happens to be Joe Biden, great. But if it happens to be Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren or Cory Booker or somebody else that doesn't fit the traditional profile of the president, it's all good. Americans have shown that at least when it comes to the popular vote, diversity is very popular. We'll talk quickly about the un of the week. And it's related to this whole idea of shoot your shot. The slang term shoot your shot refers to romantically people letting someone know that they like them and finally shooting a shot. Also, shoot your shot in basketball and sports is actually literally taking a shot. And in our professional lives and things like politics, it's trying something different, doing something for the first time, or whether or not you should just keep going. Omarosa shooting her shot. Democrats diversity shooting their shot. But there's also this interesting thing going on where people are now shooting their shot in an odd way. And I wanted to get your thought on this. We know people play in the workplace, so people date and all that stuff. And that's a little tricky sometimes. But now there's this new thing where people are actually trying to work where they play. There's been a new study and some recent research has found that people are using dating sites where normally you're shooting your shot to try to romantically get involved with someone, but people are now using dating sites to actually find work. Yeah, I said that. You heard me correctly. This recent article on MarketWatch called "The Bizarre New Way People Are Trying to Find Jobs Using Things Like Tinder." They cite this guy, Philip, who's a photographer, and he oftentimes is now going on these sites under the guise of looking to meet new people, new women. And he says that it's been actually good for his business. He's turned these romantic encounters into business opportunities and said he's gotten some business of photography, doing weddings and stuff like that, and made somewhere between $5,000 to $10,000 off of people he met on these dating sites that turned into business. And he's not the only one. It's a growing trend that people are using dating apps to network and find jobs. It's becoming more and more common. I mean, I know it's tough out here, right? Wages are stagnant. Unemployment seems low, but folks are hustling. It's the hustle economy, the gig economy. People are trying to find different ways and be creative. So let me know. Unjust or just right? Do you think it's good to shoot your work shot where you're supposed to be shooting your play shot? Your romantic shot seems a little off to me. I'll let you know my thoughts. I think if you want to network, get off of these dating sites and go head over to LinkedIn. That'd be my advice. And if you're going to stay on these dating sites and do that type of stuff, then you should be as upfront as possible. Put in your profile that you're looking to network, or be upfront when you first message somebody, because being on the same page and managing expectations is good to do no matter what the situation is. So if you're going to try to work where you play, you know, be upfront with folks, or just go work where you work. It's time for the Underdog Spotlight. I didn't even want to play the Name That Underdog game because I think we all knew from the clip I played earlier who I wanted to take a moment to acknowledge, and that is the Queen of Soul herself, Aretha Franklin, who unfortunately left us at the age of 76 due to losing a battle with pancreatic cancer. You know, on the Gregory Neesmith Show for the past year and a half, oftentimes music is one of the ways we help tell the story. And oftentimes I would kick off episodes with a song that I felt met the mood of the show. There's been songs like Fight the Power by Public Enemy. If we're talking about money, there's been songs like Cream from Wu-Tang. During episodes during Women's History Month, or topics like when we talked about the glass ceiling and the glass cliff, we had songs like Aretha Franklin, Respect. She's been a part of this show in different ways throughout the past year and a half. And obviously been someone who's been a part of my life, being one of the favorite musicians of my parents that I would get to hear oftentimes when they would turn some music on. And unfortunately, we lost one of the greats. This is her talking about some of her inspiration and folks that have supported her while she was here and graced us for 76 years.
I come from a singing family. My brother Cecil is assistant minister, and we sing together at church. And from the choir, I became a soloist along with the choir. And I left the church at times to travel with my father, Reverend C.L. Franklin. He coached me a lot in singing, taking my time and working with the song, different things like that.
That's Aretha Franklin. She had over 20 number one R&B hits, sold over $10 million worth of records, won 18 Grammys. In 1987, she became the first woman to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. In 2005, she was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. In 2014, she became the first woman in history to have 100 songs on the R&B charts. And she's obviously best known for her song Respect, which came out in 1967, 51 years ago. And still you play it today and you think, and it feels like it just came out. It always feels brand new and uplifting every time I know that I hear it and it gets played. With that, we'll get ready for the big finish to the show. But I wanted to end this underdog spotlight with one legend talking about another. And this is Stevie Wonder, one legend, talking about Aretha Franklin, another. Rest in peace, Aretha Franklin, and prayers to you, your family, your fans, and we'll miss you.
I love you, Aretha, and that's a forever thing. I'm too emotional to think about any singing right now. But it's a celebration. We have to celebrate her life and continue the legacy by letting people of all the various genres hear the music that influenced us all. But I thank you. I love you, Aretha. But you know that. Thank you.
Time for the big finish to the show. Episode 85. Shoot your shot or no? We talked about Omarosa. What do you think? I wanted to keep shooting her shot. We talked about the Democrats seem to be shooting their diversity shot. I want them to keep shooting that shot too. We talked about people who are actually shooting their shot about work, where they play. I'm a gnaw on that one. I think you should date on dating apps. I think you should work on working apps. Go over to LinkedIn if you want to look for a job. Go over to Tinder if you want to go look for a date. And then lastly, from a swagger back commandment standpoint, one of the swagger back commandments is go out and play. And I always err on the side of, as underdogs, for us to get our swagger back, it's good for us to do all the mental work and emotional work. And then we get to go out and test and learn and try things out. Be on the court, as they say. So I'm hoping that each of you will continue to shoot your shot. Take that first step. Try something for the first time. Tell your story. And if you got tapes, even better. And if you're diverse, embrace it. And if you want to date, go to Date Naps. And if you want to get some work, do some work and stuff. And of course, shout out to Aretha Franklin. We'll miss her, but she will live on, because I'm sure there'll be moments that will come up that we will play her music for sure. And we're going to continue to think, show some respect, and rock steady. Thank you, underdogs, for going on the journey today, for listening, for commenting, for calling. Shout out to James. Shout out to Deborah. Shout out to all the folks on Facebook Live. Shout out to the live producer, Megan, to the podcast editor, Kayla. If you missed any of today's show, the podcast of it will be out on Monday on thegregorynesmithshow.com, or search The Gregory Neesmith Show on podcast apps like iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. And if you want to work together and spread some special stuff to underdogs out there, I'm all for it. Let's work together. Let's make it happen. Let's spread some special stuff. You can reach me at gregorynesmith.com. All the contact info, my social media, email, all that stuff is on there, gregorynesmith.com, and we can go spread some special stuff to underdogs. And with that, I'm going to leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it. And I mean nobody. Can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.